Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, it's amazing that Christmas is already on us. December goes fast, you know that? It goes fast. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're on a series, again, continuing our series on our core values. If you don't have the last two sessions, I encourage you to get those, because some things that we went over are extremely important. Our assignment as the body of Christ has not changed. Jesus declared when he came on the scene, the kingdom of God is here. Have a change of thought, turn around, because the kingdom of God is here. And it's important that we understand that even though we've had so many other things, perspectives and things passed down over the last number of centuries, that our message really hasn't changed. Jesus didn't train the disciples one way when he was here, and then when he left, they had another message. You're on your own on this one. You got to figure out how it's supposed to look. That's not what he did. He trained his disciples for 3.5 years when he was here for what they were going to, what their message was, what their assignment was when he was gone. And he went with them, working with them. And so the disciples' message, our message isn't any different than the disciples' message, even though certain theological thought processes have tried to say that. But that just is because when you live unplugged, you don't see the same things that they saw in the first century church, so we have to come up with something different. But we're not supposed to be getting comfortable living unplugged, we're supposed to be getting comfortable living plugged in. So if we're plugged in, as Jesus was plugged in, because he prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they'll be one as you and I are one. He wasn't talking about Peter and John. He was talking about them and all those that would believe according to their word, being one with Father, the way Jesus was experiencing being one with Father, and the way he demonstrated that. So our core value is we want to be grace-empowered people. We are free to be a people that develop a lifestyle that rests in the power of His presence. Everybody say, I rest in the power of His presence. That which faith reveals, unlimited resources at any time, any place, and any circumstance towards anyone. Now, we're not speaking about finances, even though that does apply to that, because anything in this material world, it applies to that. We can't say, His grace is sufficient for me, and stand in front of sickness and disease and say, I got nothing, sorry. Or, better yet, if we don't want to come off as being one with no answers, we just blame it on God and say, well, God wants you to have this, He's trying to teach you something. So you kind of get an idea where all this kind of mess came from. It came from folks that lived unplugged, didn't have any answers, and they had to have something that made sense. But if we live plugged in, we understand that as people we are designed to develop a lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. Folks, I know I keep repeating this, but I can't get it over to you enough, because the model that we have gotten that is the church mentality is to reach people, we just do, quote, outreaches. There's nothing wrong with outreaches. But really, 6 days a week, 7 days a week should be an outreach from you. Someplace, wherever you go. If you go to Home Depot, I'm sure there's somebody there that needs, that would appreciate you declaring the blessing over their sick body. Amen. Again, when I went up to that gentleman at the Jack in the Box who could hardly even get up out of his chair because he had back surgeries and they just didn't work. And I went over to his car and said, you know what, is this thing giving you any pain? He said, well, first he said no, because people are guarded. You have to understand that. People are guarded. They don't know who you are. But that's okay. The kingdom of God is still here. And he said, oh yeah, he does give me pain. And I said, well, God wants, he wants to set you free from that because he's crazy about you. And as soon as I said that to him, he opened up and I began to pray over his body, over his vertebrae and over the cushions between his vertebrae and all those kinds of things. And then as I was leaving, I let go of his hand, but he didn't let go of mine. And he said, looked at me, almost tears in his eyes, said, you know, I really appreciate you doing that for me. I'm going to know, in and of myself, I can't heal a gnat's fly's eyeball. Heard that phrase one time. That was pretty good. It's about as small as you can get. But it's not up to us. Our assignment is to declare the kingdom of God is here. And it's not an accident. It's not symbolic. Why, when you read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts, that every time you turned around, that manifestation of what was connected to the gospel was somebody was getting healed. We've tried to make it some kind of symbolic thing, but the reality of it is, Jesus said, it's not any harder to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say take up your bed and walk. And the reality of it is that even though the general mindset of people has been that Jesus healed because that was a type of sin. No, he healed to demonstrate that they were set free from sin. Do you understand that? He healed and he gave us the assignment. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He gave us that assignment that was connected to the declaration that the kingdom of God is here because we are ambassadors for him. And natural man only understands natural things. Does that make sense? Jesus said it, Paul said it, and it was mentioned over in 1 Samuel. Natural man looks on the outward, and we keep trying to communicate spiritual truths to them. When Jesus, Paul, and Samuel said, or the Spirit of God said through Samuel, that natural man does not have the capacity to understand those things. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's involved, but folks, look, if Jesus gave us the blueprint, the book of Acts is the model of what it looks like, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel and come up with something different? If you notice the ministry of Jesus, because he did his assignment and he told the disciples, just as I was sent, I'm sending you the same way. Just as the assignment that I was sent, I'm sending you the same assignment. And he said, and also the ones that believe according to your word. So we need not get nervous about it. We need not think, well, you know, I'm not Jesus. Well, yeah, you are. You're in him. And he's in you. And so what we need to understand is really the reality of maybe why we don't see the things that we read about in the book of Acts is really kind of what we're going to talk about today. And it just takes an adjustment of your lifestyle. It doesn't have to be overnight. It doesn't have to be tomorrow I've arrived. It's just a matter of this is just a lifestyle that I'm going to develop the rest of my breathing days on the planet. But we need not deceive ourselves either and think, well, you know, because I've been on these paths and I've seen a lot of church stuff. And we the church people, we have this idea that it just happens. Churches just grow because it just happens. But that's not the model you see in the Gospels or in the book of Acts. The church grew and expanded because the people got on their assignment and did their assignment. And their assignment was, the kingdom of God is here, the king is on his throne, and this is what that looks like. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. That physical manifestation on you is to let you know that you truly have been set free from the dominion of sin. And they get a hold of it. And so they flocked to Jesus. They did the same thing in his ministry. Why did people follow him? Because he was a great orator? They saw what he did. They saw the impact that it had on them and on the society around them. The church has not seen its greatest days because the church has not gone on its assignment overall. So churches don't grow by accident. Churches grow when we do our assignment. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now the context of these verses, he is talking about finances. But I want to submit to you this, that really it's a principle that is characteristic of the grace of God, the power of God, the empowerment of God. The grace of God is the working of His power because of His presence. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1, it says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given." So he's telling the Corinthian church about the Macedonian church. "We want to tell you about the grace of God that was given in the churches of Macedonia." Now, really, that word "given" is in the passive tense, and really you could say in another verse that uses the exact same Greek word and the exact same passive tense, which just means you're on the receiving end of it. It's translated in our English Bible as "committed." So Paul is telling the Corinthian church about the empowerment and the working of his power because of his presence that was committed to the Macedonian church. And it says, "In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." Notice, and he tells you how it started. It says, "For I testify that according to their ability," everybody say, "according to my ability."
According to my ability.
It's not according to someone else's ability. See, he's getting ready to explain to us how you activate the working of God's power in your life. It starts with, you do what you know to do. You do what you can do. Right? It says, according to their ability and beyond their ability, of their own accord. That's another key. They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, a little in your notes there, I wrote down, this is the keys to being people that live in this grace-empowered life. Number one is, it was an abundance of their joy. We need to guard our joy. We need to guard our joy because your joy is your strength. On top of that, there's another verse, I think we'll end today with it, that talks about walking in love. And as the church, we need to understand that it's when you start getting off of your joy and start paying attention to what's wrong with everybody else, you're not going to have any joy. Plus, you're going to be contaminated and you're going to be cluttered up and you won't be able to rightfully discern what the Spirit of God is trying to get over to you any given time because you have begun to walk in your own head and your own emotions. So the first thing, even though they had great ordeal of affliction, they made sure they guarded their joy. The next thing it says is that they started with their own abilities. And because they started with their own abilities, God was able to leverage those abilities and produce results that were beyond their abilities. See, so many times when we talk about ministering the kingdom of God to people, especially when it comes to physical conditions in their body, we immediately try to meet the situation with our ability, and we completely unhook and say, well, I can't do that. But it's not about your abilities. It's about you doing what you can do, and He leverages that and produces results beyond what you can do. Because it's not about us anyway, right? In fact, He goes on to say that, really. He says that it was according to their ability, beyond their ability, but He says of their own accord. What is He saying here? He's saying that they initiated it. I'm going to say that again. They initiated it. I'll say that one more time. They initiated it. We have so spiritualized this thing, we've basically made it an excuse for why we don't need to do anything. Because we talk about, well, the Holy Spirit needs to move me. Well, you'd be sitting there forever. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God, but I'm going to read you verses today. You need to take a look, second look at them. Jesus said, the Father has given all judgment up to me. And He said, what I see my Father doing, that's what I do. He said, I don't do anything on my own initiative. But that's not in the context of not doing anything. Because how many know Jesus knew His Father? So He knew what His Father's bend was. So He knew, because He knew His Father, that there were certain things that He came in contact with that just weren't okay. Right? Do you think He had to ask for permission? Well, Father, should I heal this person? No. Because He already knew. He already knew this is what His Father does. Let me turn this up. So because He already knew His Father. See, here's the thing. He spent time with His daddy in the private time, so He already knew the bend of His Father, so He just walked that out. Do you understand the difference? In those situations, He was led by the Spirit of God and what to do in those situations, but whether or not He ever engaged those situations, Father left that to Him because He knew Him. Jesus knew His Father and He knew that there were things that weren't okay. So we've got to come to the place where we understand that, and you've heard this saying before, it's His super on your natural. Right? But it starts with your natural. If we know our daddy, then we know there are certain things in society that get on people that are contrary to the dominion of the king, and they're just not okay. So we don't check with him to say, well, should I do this? Because we already know what his kingdom is about. Right? So we just, I do those things that I see my Father doing. Because He's always doing that. So therefore, we're always doing that. That's what Jesus was speaking of. So here in 2 Corinthians 8, He says, I'm telling you, the Corinthian church, I want to tell you about the grace or the empowerment of God that had been given or committed to the churches in Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, number one, they kept their joy. They did what was according to their ability, and then beyond their ability, he multiplied the results. And they did it of their own accord. They initiated it. But he goes on to say, to clarify it even more, they first gave themselves to the Lord. What does life look like for us as a people when we just make a decision, we first give ourselves to the Lord? In your notes, you have these verses. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. This is one of those references where Jesus spoke to Peter. He was actually speaking to the satanic influence. Mark chapter 8, look at verse 33. And notice what he says here. He says, he turned to Peter, but he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on what?" The NASB says, "You're not setting your mind on God's interests." You're not setting your mind on God's interests, you're setting your mind on man's interests. And then look at Philippians chapter 2. Notice what Paul said. So what does it mean to give yourself first to the Lord? It means we set our minds on His interests. It means that our message is the kingdom of God is here, as the head has committed to us, and we walk that demonstration of that out by these signs: follow them that believe into my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He went with them and worked signs confirming the word that they were saying. What did I say? Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Philippians 2, verse 21. Let's just start verse 19. "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." Verse 21. "For they all seek after their own" what? They seek after their own interests. What are the origins of that? What did Jesus say the origins of your own interests, seeking after your own interests, always focusing on your own interests? Where is the origin of that coming from? Jesus said that's demonic in influence. He says, but Timothy's not that way. So we want to be a people that we give ourselves first to the Lord. So in giving ourselves first to the Lord, we initiate things. And because we initiate things, Daddy is excited, and His presence comes out of us. The kingdom manifests on somebody's life, and these signs follow us that believe in His name, because He confirms what we're saying with His presence and His power. Can you see how that works? I said, can you see how that works? So, this is what Jesus, the Jesus model demonstrated. You know, we talk about during Christmas time, the Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus demonstrated what God with a man looks like. Can you see that? I love the song Emmanuel. I love that word, Emmanuel, God with us. But there's been a whole lot of stuff that, you know, has been demonstrated that wasn't God with anybody. So imagine what the cities in this nation will see and experience when the church gets on its message and declares that the kingdom of God is here, the king is on his throne, and oh, by the way, you've been set free from the dominion of sin. If there's anything physical going on with you, and you lay hands on them and they get delivered from that as proof and a testament that what you just said was true. Imagine what happens when those kinds of things begin to happen on a widespread basis because the church gets on message. Folks, you couldn't keep them away from Jesus. We don't need to make up something to come up with some new message because, you know, it didn't, you know, we're not seeing results. Let's just do what the blueprint shows us. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. It's in your notes there. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. Now look at verse 6. See, I've read these verses, as many others have, and we read these verses and we think about this. This is a theological truth. You're enriched in Him. You're enriched in all speech and all knowledge. But verse 6 is the reason why the previous verses are so. So we need to put it in order. See that word, even as? Well, the word even as really means it's the underlying cause or reason for what you just read. You could say because. So he says he thanks them for the grace that was given them in Christ Jesus, in that everything they're enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, because the testimony, or literally the evidence or the proof concerning Christ, was verified or proved to be true in them. Now, when you lay this over on top of what was said in 2 Corinthians, you're going to find it's exactly the same blueprint. The reason why the reality of Christ in them was confirmed was because they stepped out and did something. They stepped out and said something, and these signs followed them to believe, and then they begin to discover as they did that they came behind and they were deficient in no gift. In all utterance and all knowledge. Why? Because the Spirit of God is your connection to the mind of Father. But how many know we've got to be willing to prime the pump with our what we know and our own abilities that we can do? Everyone can talk and everyone can lay hands on somebody. Right? So it's the same blueprint, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 7. Notice what he says here. I thank my God always concerning you, the grace of God which is given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, because the testimony or the evidence and proof concerning Christ was verified in you, so that you were not lacking or you were not deficient in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we are not careful, we'll take that last section of verses and we'll fast forward it to only mean when He comes back, when this whole thing is over with, which we've done with a lot of verses, especially when things that Peter wrote in 1 Peter. But he's talking about the here and now. And so he's saying here, literally, the Greek New Testament brings this out, that what happened in verses 4, 5 was because of something they initiated in verse 6, and they found out after they initiated something that they came behind, they were deficient in nothing, and they actually begin to develop a eager awaiting, which is in the present tense, which is an ongoing constant attitude that they developed. In fact, it's in the middle voice, which means they expected to participate in the results of their actions. This was their attitude that they had developed. They would initiate things and they would eagerly participating in the results of those actions when Jesus would reveal himself in that scenario. Do you see that? Because look at verse 8. It all ties into verse 8. And verse 8 says, you were called into what? Fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we're talking about here is not something that happens in the when this thing is all over with. What he's talking about here is the empowerment of the grace of God, the presence of Jesus with you every place we go, and the way we get to experience that tangible presence of him is we first gave ourselves to him, we plugged ourselves into his initiatives, his interests, not our own, because everything else is a distraction. And then through that reciprocating process of initiating things, he came alongside of us and he validated and verified what we were saying, not just to the people that we're talking to, but also to us. So it was an experiential track record he's building with us all the time. Can you see that? Go over to John chapter 14. John 14. And or it's in your notes, actually. Just look at yours. In John 14, verse 18, Jesus said this, I will come to you. Again, that's the present tense. On an ongoing, constant basis, I'm going to be coming to you. Why? Well, because our message is the kingdom of God is here. The king is on his throne. You've been set free from the dominion of sin. Therefore, sickness and disease, you have to leave this body in the name of the Lord. And these signs follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out demons. Why? Because there's a new kingdom in place. And the king is on his throne. So Jesus said, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. After a little while, the world's no longer going to see me, but you'll see me because I live. And because I live, you'll live also. And in that day, you'll know. Everybody say, I'll know. How are we going to know? We're going to know because we made his interests our interests. We initiate things on our own because we know what our Father does. That gets Jesus excited, and the Spirit of God brings the kingdom upon someone because we had enough guts to initiate something and declare to them that the kingdom of God is here. You've been set free from the dominion of the nature of sin forever. And any sickness, disease, infirmity in your body has to go, or any pain has to go, because he really does love you that much, and that's the way his kingdom runs. And then we expect these signs to follow them to believe. See, the only reason why there's uncertainty about this is because we've just never lived there. We've never lived in that place of we just want to be people that initiate the kingdom wherever we're at. Because darkness seems to speak into your ear and say, yeah, but you can't pray for somebody because look what you've got. Or look what so-and-so. Or remember that person you prayed for, nothing happened. And all that stuff is completely irrelevant. Because his kingdom is not based on you. His kingdom is based on the king that's on the throne. And the message is what it is. And Jesus didn't say, go declare, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, if you've experienced 100%. He just said, go do it. Leave it up to him. I'll submit this to you. The more we do it, at some point something will click, and you'll start seeing so much regularity of these things happening. Understand, it's been in you the whole time. That gentleman that I prayed for in the parking lot, I purposely did not stick around and find out. So what's happened? I purposely didn't do that because, number one, I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. Number two, I didn't really need to know. Because the bottom line is, it's about me developing a lifestyle, not me seeing results. Right? Let's leave the results up to him, because all he needs is your ability so that he can produce beyond your ability. I'd rather not know, keep on doing it, and then at some point I find out later on, you know, all these situations, what happened, what God did with them. But it's about developing a lifestyle. Don't let things get in your head that would keep you from developing that lifestyle. That means that you just speak a blessing over them, you lay hands on them, and you do to the best of your ability what you know to do, and you declare the kingdom is on them, that God's crazy about them, he loves them, and he thinks they're absolutely magnificent, and you speak to those things, speak to the pain, speak to the sickness, whatever else, and command it to go, because you have the authority and you have his power, because you have his presence. And you turn around and just say, I just wanted to declare that blessing over you, because you're worth it. Whatever you got to do, and then turn around and walk away, do that. Because the beyond your ability is up to him, not you. Right? Because Jesus said, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. Acts chapter 4, verse 28 says, Now the Lord they were praying to the Lord, and it says, they take note of their threats. They were praying, and it says, grant to your bondservants that we may speak your word with all confidence. Look at verse 30. And while we're speaking your word with all confidence, you're extending your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place. You can't get any clearer than that, but that's the blueprint. Why in the world do we ever go and try to reinvent something else? These guys didn't even have PhDs in theological seminary. But they knew what their assignment was. We speak your word with all confidence, and you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now notice this. Connect Acts 4:28 through 30 with Acts 14 verse 3. Therefore they spent a long time there speaking boldly upon the Lord. The word "with reliance" is implied. It's not really in the text, but they put it in there in italics so we could, you know, imply that that's what they were doing. But it really says in the Greek New Testament, they were speaking boldly upon the Lord. They were doing Acts chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. They were speaking with all confidence, and while they were speaking with all confidence, he extended his hands to heal, and signs and wonders took place. So Acts 14 calls it, they spoke boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his what? The word of his what? The word of his grace. Granting that signs and wonders be done through their hands. So we're to understand this, that the word of his grace isn't the word of his grace unless it's accompanied with him stretching forth his hand to heal. Am I making that up, or is that in your text? He called it the word of his grace, and accompanying the word of his grace was these signs, wonders followed what they were saying. See, we might as well just settle this, folks. This is not a tell gospel. This is a show and tell gospel. You can go any place in the book of Acts, and you'll find that they showed and then they told. Because the grace of God is the manifestation of his power, because he wants to show that person that he's really there, right there, right then. It's a show and tell. They came to Philip in Acts chapter 3 or 4. 4. They came to Philip because of what they saw. They came to Jesus because of what they saw, and then he said things. So the word of his grace, the characteristics of the word of his grace are He extends his hands to heal, and signs and wonders take place. Acts chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, tied with Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Those are basically absolute carbon copies, identical in content and environment, and both of them include the manifestations of signs and wonders, and he called that the word of his grace. Why are we calling something less than that the word of his grace? We've sold the gospel short, and we ought to understand that we have the greatest king on the planet, and he's on the throne right now. And he really is, he really does love everybody that we come in contact with. And there's absolutely nothing that people are under the dominion of that he can't set them free from right now. Because the kingdom is here. He told in Matthew for me, later on, in Matthew 10, Jesus told the disciples he was sending out, he said, I'm giving you power over demons to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and every manner of disease. I challenge you, make that a confession of your life every day. Father, I thank you that you've given me power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. And just do that. Make that a part of your developing a lifestyle. Because you all are kingdom people. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 in the Amplified, I like this. It says, they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. And then it says, amen. The word amen means so be it. Well, if it's so be it back then it's still so be it now, right? The only reason that we haven't, in a great manner, adhered to this mindset is because we've had a theological system tell you it's not so. But Jesus never told us it wasn't so. In fact, Jesus said this, he said, be sure of this, and this is in Matthew, the end of Matthew. He said, be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Is it the end of the world yet? Is he still with us? Does he look different being with us than he was with them? No. It's the same. Only darkness has told you it looks different. Paul said this, according to the grace of God that was given to me, like a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation. And we've talked on this before. The foundation is, what did his ministry look like? What his ministry looks like, that's the foundation. How he functioned in that ministry, what that ministry produced, that's the foundation. He's a wise master builder. He laid the foundation. Jesus gave him the blueprints. He acted on the blueprints, and the foundation was laid. And he says nobody can lay another foundation except what's been laid, Jesus Christ. But it's not just Jesus Christ up in heaven someplace. It's Jesus Christ with me all the time. This is what it looks like. This is the foundation. There is no other foundation. Only darkness has told us that it looks different. But Paul said, this is the foundation, according to the grace that was given to me. Like a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation. And then over in Colossians, he said this, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Did you know that his power mightily works within you too? Woo! Come on. Better get excited. Do that. Woo! That was lame. That was just lame. One more time. Woo! His power mightily works within you. Y'all need to wake up. And this is like, his power mightily works within you. And it doesn't look any different in you than it did through Paul. He laid the foundation. This is what it looks like. foundation of the church is this. This is what it looks like. Now, there might be in that, there might be individuals that have different giftings as far as natural abilities and things, but the overall foundation of how we function, being connected to the head, it all looks the same. Father is the one that's responsible to cause His power to come out of you to produce results in people's life. 1 Peter 4, we'll close with this one. 1 Peter 4. I'm going to just briefly touch on verse 6 again, because I like the verse. And we're in the process of having new thoughts, so we might as well just keep reiterating this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Why do we declare the gospel of the kingdom? What did Jesus say? He said, before the end, this gospel of the kingdom will be declared all over the earth. And we declare it because, look at verse 6. It says, for the gospel has been, for this purpose, been preached even to those who are dead, or he could say those that are natural men, that though they be judged in the flesh, or literally as natural men, they may live in the where? We declare the gospel of the kingdom because the gospel of the kingdom is that, now listen to this, we've said this, but we've not said it correctly, that Jesus reconciled man to God. But we've said that in the context of God's not mad at you anymore, so you know you can be friends with God again. Let's go one step farther than that. Jesus reconciled God in man. Because we declare the gospel because they need to understand that they're just natural men, but they were not created to be just natural men. They were created to be connected with Him in their spirit. God with us. In us. So the result of that connection, he says this, therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love points out all kinds of sins. Is that what it says? Oh, I'm sorry. No, it covers a multitude of sins. You know why? Because you're not going to live connected accurately if all your business is about somebody else's business. It's all about living connected and staying connected and hearing accurately. Love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable one to another without complaint. Verse 10, each one of us has received a gift. The entire letter of 1 Peter, he's talking about the empowerment of the grace of life. He says, you've received a gift. He said, if you've received a gift, employ that. As good stewards of the manifold or the multifaceted grace or empowerment or the working of His power that comes from Father. And then He gives you examples. For example, whoever is speaking, speak as one who is speaking the utterances of God. How many know that which comes from heaven into the earth is the manifestation of the grace of God, right? So He's saying, those of you that are speaking, make sure you're speaking from Him, not from you. See, the focus here is not the gifts. The focus here is where they're coming from. The focus is how are you walking them out? Are you walking them out in your own head? Are you walking them out connected to Him? That's the focus, not the actual gifts themselves. Because the whole context of 1 Peter is the grace-empowered life. If we're going to learn to be people that rest in the presence of Him and understand that we have unlimited resources anytime, any place, anywhere, towards anyone, this is how we've developed our lifestyle, because nothing comes from us anyway. So when you realize nothing comes from you, you don't need to get wrapped around the axle, because everything can flow to you that way. So he's saying in that context, whoever is speaking, let him be speaking as one who's uttering the utterances of God. Whoever's serving, make sure that they're serving by the strength or the empowerment which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the what? Dominion. What is dominion? That's a kingdom word. To who belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. And then he closes it with the word, so be it. I don't know about you folks, but the grace-empowered life is much more appealing. And we see much greater results. And churches just grow because we are declaring the accurate message, the kingdom of God is here, and then we demonstrate that they've been set free from sin. See, where we've gone wrong, folks, is we've told them they need to repent, and then they're forgiven. But we've meant repent like you need to be sorry. When repent simply means to have a new thought, turn around, go in the other direction. Well, they're not going to arrest their thought process until they experience something that they can get a hold of. Right? Our job is to bring something they can get a hold of, because he's in us and he's coming to us all the time on an ongoing, constant basis. So our job is simply to declare the kingdom of God is here, to declare that the Father is, that Father thinks these people are magnificent. So much so that he sets you free from the dominion of darkness. In fact, anything in your body that's going on, it shouldn't be there. We're going to declare the blessing over you. We're going to see those things leave because Father wants you free from those things. And then we just develop an expectation ongoing all the time that Jesus is there to clean it up. It's not our job to clean it up. It's our job to declare. But while we're speaking his word with confidence, he stretches forth his hand to heal. And then, folks, let me tell you, the church house is not big enough. Because you've brought Jesus to them. But that will be how the churches in these last days grow. Because we understand we're kingdom people, we have a kingdom assignment, and we have kingdom power. So we just develop a lifestyle and act like it. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this? All right. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your person, your presence, and your power that are on these people. I thank you that everywhere they go, there you are. Every situation they see with their eyes, you've already seen it. And you already have a desire to set those people free. So we just commit ourselves to you, Jesus. Your interests are our interests. And we'll just initiate on your behalf in the lives of people, and we know that you'll take care of those people. And I just thank you for that. Go ahead and repeat this after me. Thank you for giving me all power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal every manner of sickness and disease. Let's say that again. Thank you for giving me all power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal every manner of sickness and disease, because you, the kingdom, is here and you, Jesus, are my king and we love you. Just thank you for it. Amen. Well, you guys have absolute blessed Christmas.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.